Okay, we'll open the meeting at 5:33. And item two, acknowledgement of traditional owners. Acknowledge the traditional custodians, the Gariyata people, and recognise their contribution of Gariyata elders, past, present, future, in working together for the future of Port Hedland. Item three, recorders of attendance as listed. Apart from Troy Melville, who is not present. 3.2, apologies. There are nil. 3.3, approved leave of absence. There is nil. 3.4, disclosures is of interest. Do I have any disclosures of interest? Yes, Mr. Atwood.
Ronald Atwood, position as deputy presiding member. Meeting 8th of 11th, 2016, item 12.1.2, auditor's report. The interest is RSM auditors do books for my company. I've got to wait till I read this out when we get to the...
When we get to the item. Is there any other disclosures of interest? No. Item 4. Response to previous questions, 4.1, questions taken on notice at, from the public at Audit Risk Governance Committee meeting held on Tuesday the 4th of October 2016, there is nil. 4.2, questions taken on notice from the committee members at Audit Risk and Governance Committee meeting held on the 4th of October 2016, there is nil. Item 5, applications for leave of absence. Do I have any applications, members? Apparently not. Item 6, attendance by telephone instantaneous communications. Do I have any applications, members? There is nil. Item 7, public time. This meeting is being recorded on audio tape as an additional record of the meeting and to assist with minute taking purposes, which may be released upon request to third parties. If you do not give permission for your recording your participation, please indicate this at the meeting. The public is reminded that in accordance with Section 616 of the Town of Port Hedland Local Standing Orders, nobody shall use any visual or vocal electronic device or instrument to record the proceedings of any meeting unless that person has been given permission by the presiding member to do so. Members of the public also reminded that in accordance with 6.174 of the Town of Port Hedland Local Law Standing Orders, mobile telephones must be switched off and not in use during the meeting. In accordance with Section 6.73 of the Town of Port Hedland Local Law and Standing Orders, members of the public are required to complete a question form and place a completed form in the tray provided. So to members of the public that are present, I don't have any problem with you using iPads or phones to read the agenda that's supplied on the town's website. 7.1, public question time. I open public question time at 5:36. And do I have any public questions? No public questions. I'll close public question time at 5:37 and open public statement time at 5:37. Do I have any public statements from the public? No public statements. I close public statement time at 5:37. 7.3, petitions, deputations, presentations and submissions. There are nil. Item 8, questions from members without notice. Ms. Pinganis.
Okay, I have three questions. Mm-hmm. The first one, which I will read, on 13th of October 2016, at 9:33 p.m., the CEO emailed this committee and members of the executive team and the governance coordinator, a response from Mr. Andrew Borrett of the Department of Local Government, regarding the query, your query and the query from the acting mayor about the role and involvement of members of the ARG committee. On 14th of October at 2:31 p.m., I suggested that said email be forwarded to other members of the council, given its role in the appointment of ARG committee members. The CEO replied at 2:33 p.m. that he was preparing an email to EMs at this very moment, which I called. Could you please confirm that advice from Mr. Ad Bruboret has been communicated to the council? If yes, could you please provide this committee with a copy? If not, why? Shall I proceed with the second question?
You've just stated, you've given me a statement, so what is the question?
Well, could you please confirm?
That council received the emails?
That the advice from Mr. Andrew Borrett has been communicated to the council?
It has, yes.
Yes, and if yes, could you please provide this committee a copy? Because it involves us.
I was under the impression that the committee has received that communication from the CEO.
No, it's the communication that was meant to be forwarded by the CEO to the council.
Yeah, so the council has received those emails, and also the community members of the ARG have received those emails.
From Mr. Borrett. But not the emails from the CEO endorsing that advice received from the local government to the council.
Coordinator Evans.
So through the chair, there is an email from the acting CEO to elected members in regards to the ARG committee. It's also, the email is in regards to another confidential matter, which is why it has not been given to the community committee members, as it was in regards to legal advice that was obtained of two matters, one of them being confidential and the other one being the ARG committee, which is why it has not been provided to the community committee members.
Okay.
Could we have an extra, excluding the confidential matter?
Acting director?
Yeah, we can provide an extract. Yep.
When can we do that?
Yeah, we can do that. Tomorrow? Close business tomorrow?
Close business tomorrow?
Okay. The second question is this. Will the persons or officers or responsible apologize to the community members who have been humiliated and offended by the incorrect interpretation of the role and involvement of the community members in this committee? If yes, when and how? If no, why?
Ms. Panganis, I'll take full responsibility of that, and there won't be an apology. But you have every opportunity to put a complaint in about my conduct to the standards panel or the CEO. Okay?
Okay. And the third question is, I refer to the terms of reference to this of this committee, section 7.4, financial report, section 7.47, receive the quarterly budget review. So the question is, who decided not to release the quarterly budget reviews to this committee? And when will you release the budget reviews to this committee, the future ones?
So my understanding is that the quarterly budget review won't be done this financial year. We're going to be doing a half-yearly review, which is in line with the Act and the financial regulations. Yes.
But who decided on that? Because that's the terms of reference of this committee, and we should have at least been notified that there was a change.
Okay.
So, if a review is done, then you could receive it, but there hasn't been a review done. So, as far as the terms of reference, it does say there that you receive a quarterly budget review. It doesn't mean that a quarterly budget review needs to be completed. So as per the regulations, only a half yearly review is required.
So will that half yearly reviews, will that be provided to the committee?
Yes, it will.
Thank you. That's all.
Okay. Councillor Newbury?
Nothing for me.
Councillor Whitwell?
Nothing for me at this stage.
Mr. Atwood?
The quarterly report. My question is not to you, my question is to the auditor. As a member of the community and the public, I missed the question time at your last meeting. I had concerns about the tendering process on that quarter report, and I think that the auditor should be looking into it. Also, there is two overpayments of councillors. I think it also should be looked into, and an explanation on both matters, please.
So if we, I'll have to take that on notice. If you want to present those questions to the auditor.
So do you want me to get it put as a motion and get a second or what?
Can we
questions
put those questions
to
the auditor?
Auditor has to go by the CEO. So we had the workshop yesterday. But this is outside of the scope of the external audit, and that's what that was for. But any questions to the auditors have to go through the CEO.
You've asked for the questions to be put to the auditor.
Auditor, yes. I know that the auditor will read our minutes, so do you want me to put it to a motion? Because I'll move it. Because I think that...
hang on a second. Can we get some clarification on that?
Coordinator Governance, can I...
So, under 7.14, I have that ability to do that.
To ask?
Yes.
So if you provide the question that you would like
I've
to ask
the
auditor...
I've just got questions then, just then.
Can you provide
it? I have concerns about
Mr. Abbott,
the tendering process.
Mr. Abbott?
Yes.
Can I have a written question for the staff so then it can be presented to the auditor?
No problems. Okay.
Any other questions, Mr. Allen?
The other question is, because we've had the workshop on the audit, will we be able to question the audit tonight?
The workshop was yesterday. So the questions, all the questions should have been asked yesterday at the audit. They're not present tonight and they're not required to be.
Okay, then my question is, on page 19, you reflect the reflection there was 166,874,000,000 is your figure put up on to us as a council here, I mean as a committee here, yet the auditor gave to me on page 88 a different figure. Page 88. Page 19, first of all.
The bottom of page 19?
Yes.
Confirm,
yep.
So that will be amended when we do the minutes. So.
I've no problems with that. It's
yep.
Just on page.
It's been amended up there.
On page 88.
So it's been amended?
That's right.
So
we pick
it
up. Okay, no problems.
Thank you.
On page 88, I refer to the audit's report. The figure is 166,869.
Okay, so what are you requiring to be done here, Mr. Atwood?
I'm saying, okay, the audits...
We understand that the numbers
saying,
are different.
Yes.
What do you need done?
I need to question why are the figures different. I know that the auditor's not wrong. Because he's explained where he gets his figures. Can you explain me where you get your figures from?
So if the auditor's figures are correct here,
yes,
then all we have to do is change
the... Give the correct figures for page 19.
So that's just the officer's report.
It's bringing up, mm. Just to check the content, top context of the statement. So, through the chair, the 166,874 being transferred to the municipal bank account, so that's the amount that's been transferred on sale day.
Okay, that's 22, isn't it?
Compared to the amount required to be disclosed from a discontinuing operations and assets held for sale. So two different items. So related, but one from an accounting disclosure point of view and one from a cash received on the day.
Mr. Hayward, do you need any further clarification on that?
I can have it in writing, please, in a minute.
Yep. I can do it as a circulated response, if you like.
Yes, please.
Yep.
On page 34...
Hang on, Mr. Hayward. Do you want to jot that down first?
Yep.
Or?
Note 3, there's cash on hand. I asked the auditor the question, and he said there was a checkbook with $4,667. And what is this check used for?
You've lost me on that one. Can you explain it a little
bit? The auditor was sitting right there.
Page 34.
Page 34, the top line.
Yeah,
cash on hand. Municipal unrestricted.
Okay, so Mr. Atwood, my understanding of that is a municipal account at that time on the 2016 actual had that amount in it.
What I'm asking is, what is the checkbook?
It's to confirm it's not a checkbook.
Well, he said it was a checkbook.
It's a it's cash, unrestricted cash that has not got any call on it for any reserve. Or any other purpose. Restricted cash is restricted for a purpose of a reserve. So it's not a cash book, there are cash accounts and they've all been verified by the auditor that they're held. We have to provide bank confirmations from all of our banks to confirm what we have held in bank accounts.
So the previous year, 15, right, was $1,600, right? Why the huge increase?
It's actually, is that a million?
That's
million. Yeah, it is. So, Mr. Atwood, municipal unrestricted is what the council can pay the bills out of without coming back to council or using the reserve accounts, which are restricted, correct? Okay.
So, the budget on that, have you got a budget figure on that at all?
For the 16-17 year?
Yes.
There's an estimated budget in the net current assets.
Is there?
Yeah.
So what was the budget set aside for 15-16?
Hang on. No, that's the budget is at the end of the year, you know, I don't know exactly what the number is, but all our money moves through the municipal, okay? So as money is unrestricted because we have finished projects, it moves into the municipal account and then the funds go out to be paid. So the budget amount going through the municipal in that year was about 58 million, was it? It was around that, just off the top of my head.
the question I asked also, with regard to the lots, which were changed sort of thing, were they at the airport, were they going to be industrial or commercial? Was that thought about before they done the lots?
The Kingsford Smith lots?
Yeah.
I don't think we've got that information back, but my understanding of Kingsford's is lots is they were light industrial.
Yeah, but they put up separate leases numbers yesterday.
Well, there are a couple of different variations in Kingsford Smith, and we went through this, throughout the period of the lease. BHP maybe, the BHP lot may be zoned differently to the others, but my understanding of the lots is light industrial. Would you like to add to that?
The only thing I'd have to add is that the classification of the lots doesn't have any bearing on the financial statements.
Yeah,
they're at market value or carrying value, whichever is the lesser.
If it's industrial, we know the restrictions on the B train going into Kingsford. Are those people aware of those as well?
Which people?
Who are going to do the lots or purchase the lots?
It's not relevant to what we are discussing here tonight, Mr. Atwood. That's a planning matter.
Okay, well, as long as it's in the plan, okay. Something. Okay, that's all.
Could I just come back with one more question? I had something I wanted to query.
Yes.
Just page 30. The Fortescue Metals Group, wasn't that money $500,000 a year that they paid towards the stadium and all of that?
Page 30.
Right down the bottom, under recreation and culture. Wasn't it $500,000 a year? Was there... So why has it got 375?
Yeah, through the chair. This particular note outlines the conditions over grants, so if there's any unspent amount of a grant, not the full grant. So if there's a grant that's been received, the purpose of the note, grant's been received and hasn't been fully expended.
But I didn't think that $500,000 a year, that was their money towards the use of the stadium, the mat down and all of that. That was a payment, wasn't it? Not a grant?
I think, can we just show where it is in the financial statement, if that one there is just part of it? Is there a section in here where it states?
We can take it on notice. The only answer I've got is this is cash accounting rather than accrual, so we may have invoiced for 500 but only received 375, but I can confirm that.
Yeah, can you get back to you? Because it was supposed to be 500 per year, so then we're 125 down there on what their commitment's supposed to be.
Well, I can confirm, because I said it's cash, but I can confirm.
Okay. Any other questions? Councillor Whitmer.
Look,
an apology as part of the question. I just want to. I spoke to the auditor across there over wages, salaries, and employment leave entitlements, and indicated that they had actually gone up by $4 million. Sorry, this is on note 31.
Page 66.
It's what I failed to notice was that down the bottom of the budget section we had an amount roughly equivalent, but it was under a heading of other. Then I thought I'd just have a look and see what the numbers were in terms of staffing, which is up on just at the top of 31, and that doesn't show the sort of drop off in staffing that we anticipated having from press releases and so forth for savings. And I'm wondering whether that other is actually, that's the four, let's say 4 million of other, right, goes into salaries and wages, which is a transfer from contractors to staff. I'm not sure, but that would seem to be about the only way I could explain it.
Can we get a an idea of what the other is? Is there a note on other?
No.
Oh, 33, note 33, yeah.
No, sure.
No.
I think I know what the other is.
Can we get it?
So it's the, through the chair. It is a budgeted figure.
Yeah, I understand.
Yeah. I can get some further clarification on the 4-7.
I just think it's worth
through the budget papers.
Did you want some clarification on that figure?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So can we get some of that?
Yeah.
Yes.
When do you think you might be able to do that?
There were just two.
Hang on, Councillor. When do you think?
I think by the end of the week, just thinking about the workload. So, tell them to close business on Friday, is that okay?
Okay. Yeah. Fine. But it's not strictly time limited.
Yeah,
it's just
because it's coming from the budget rather than the statements.
The next thing I just wanted to highlight, which I also highlighted yesterday, was this issue to do with the.
Page.
Depreciation and amortisation.
Page.
Oh, sorry, it's on page 3. It's one. We could steer it through a few other pages, but I won't do that. But on page 3, we've got this depreciation and amortisation shown as 12,739. Last year it was 11 million. 331. Now, as we go down the page and we go to the bottom of the page, we see that last year's figure of 2015 didn't have any impairment associated with it. But this year, we've basically impaired the full amount, and that means we're not really having any depreciation put back into the system or saving for future dates, as we did last year. Now, that just has an effect on our ratio. I can't remember what the name of the ratio is. But it has an effect.
So, the question?
Well, the question is, could we get a bit more clarification about that?
So, through the chair, the 12 million. So the impairment for the assets doesn't have an effect on the depreciation for the 15-16 year because the impairment's at 30 June. In addition, there was an increase in depreciation due to revaluation completed in previous years. And then, in addition, offsetting that is the removal of the depreciation for the airport. So original budget was 14 mil for depreciation, that included the airport.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
So
So 12 is excluding the airport.
12 is excluding the airport.
Yep, and we had to split it out for the discontinued operation for the 2016 actuals.
Okay. There's just one other question which I've got here. It's just about the operating result. It's the first page, or page three. The operating result. We see there in the operating result there's 13 million in deficit or more, 14 basically. Now, is that having much, apart from the change in the in our balance sheet, you know, through the...
Where's the 14 million?
Sorry.
14?
Yes. 13. Just
yeah. Oh, here's, okay.
So really, look, I won't complicate it, but the thing is that we're really in a situation now where we are really not fulfilling our operational requirements effectively. Is that correct?
Okay.
Yes, so through the chair, the removal of the airport has reduce the income in the continuing operations. It was anticipated it would be about an $8 million differential when the airport was leased. That's why the wealth management framework was set up to be able to put the income back in. So your observations are correct that we're not meeting our operational with continuing operations if we have a deficit of $13 million. Bearing in mind that from a cash perspective, if you take out non-cash items, depreciation, any other non-cash items that are sitting, you know, above the line, the cash result.
I've looked at that.
Hasn't changed very much. What it does indicate, though, is that we don't have enough operating surplus to put aside for our renewal of assets. We're not funding our depreciation, so that's a challenge going forward.
That's all I really wanted to get some answers on. Thanks for that.
Okay. So we'll move on to item 9, declarations of all members that have given due consideration to all matters contained in the business papers before the meeting. Can I have a show of hands, please? Thank you. It's 5 here. Item 10, confirmation of minutes of previous meetings. 10.1, confirmation of previous minutes of Audit, Risk and Governance Committee meeting. Held on Tuesday the 6th of September 2016 and Tuesday the 4th of October 2016. Do I have a mover in those?
Just clarification, please.
Yes, Mr. Abbott.
I put forward an alternative motion to add into the minutes, which would give them to the acting CEO or thing.
Okay, Mr. Abbott, did we change that?
Through the chair, just defer to the coordinator of governance when she's ready.
Yeah, so that motion was put on the night and recorded in the minutes. However, the motion lapsed for one of the seconders. So there was not another supporter of the committee. And then the original minutes were moved as well. So we haven't amended the minutes, because from the town of Port Ellen perspective, the minutes are a true and accurate record of the meeting. Yep. The motion from Mr. Atwood was put on the night when they were first asked to be considered. However, there was no one else in the committee who seconded it.
So I'd like to put that recommendation up again about those minutes. To change the minutes.
Hang on a second. Can I get some clarification on that? That motion has been voted on that already?
Yeah. Grace, through the...
So it hasn't been voted on because there wasn't a seconder in the first instance.
Okay.
Just lapsed.
Yeah.
Lapsed.
So it can be moved again now. There would need to be a seconder.
Okay.
To support it, and then there would need to be a vote for it to actually go through.
I'll remove the motion. I would like to move the motion again with those changes.
Do we have those changes?
They're in the minutes.
We'll just bring them up now.
So it'll be easier for these ones if we split it into two and tackle each of the minutes separately rather than try and wrap it up all as one.
Okay. Yeah,
that'd be easier to get past.
Can we read the changes for the benefit of?
So it's really true, they are the changes. So these are the changes that were recommended, that were put last time?
Yes.
It was September, wasn't it? Yeah.
That's the first lot of meetings. Put them into agenda items, which is item 2 and item 7.13.
So just to clarify how
splitting the recommendation of the 2 minutes.
Oh no, this is only one. That's one of them. Just one.
Just one?
Yes.
So you split that up.
One and two is one, isn't it? So we're clear which one we've moved this one here and below
all of them.
So this one as well.
Moving
the
solution of 1 and 2.
And 2. Right.
Is that correct?
Yes.
Have a second.
Okay. So do we have a seconder? Seconded Councillor Whitwell? Do we have any against? Passed 5-0.
This is a second motion now, second another minutes.
Just, I don't understand, can we just clarify, do you want something else changed on another set of minutes, do you? Or is...
At the moment we've moved the first set of minutes with the
accept
the minutes with those changes.
Mm-hmm.
Now we need to get to ask if anybody else wants to change the second lot of minutes yet.
Oh.
Yeah.
So, okay.
I have some changes to the second minutes, the one held on 4th of October 2016.
Mm-hmm.
I will. Can I just give it to
yes.
the secretary? Yeah, you were not here. It sort of just to present the sequence because there were, I read a fair bit there. I just sort of acknowledged that something was read.
Just want to add something from the government's point of view. If there are any changes to, especially to the minutes, we recommend that you approach the administration first, just so that we can ensure the wording that's going to be inserted into the minutes is consistent with the wording and how it's currently used. It's not good practice to have, and in this case it's a little bit like how we currently do minutes, but verbatim of meetings. Otherwise you should be verbatim during the whole meeting, which then can obviously cause some problems if something is misinterpreted. So just for future reference on anything that you're wishing to insert into minutes, if you approach admin first, just so that we can ensure that it is consistent with the rest of the minutes and isn't just one piece of verbatim writing and then goes into summary of questions and answers.
Just through the chair, with the minutes, the last one before sort of thing, there were three motions which were lost because of the lapse of time sort of thing. They were left because I consider that we did not have the ability to question those agenda items. Are they going to be presented again, and are we able to question them?
I think they'll be presented again, those items.
Through the chair, the items, one of them is in the agenda again tonight, so it's a normal status of risk register and decisions.
So
the other two, yeah. Was there other two that were?
Yeah, there was three.
Yeah. I'm happy if you have questions, I can, they can be emailed and we can answer them and circulate them to the committee rather than going back through the meeting. So we've got, so we had the participation in the survey. Yeah, the monthly status is on again tonight, and then the minutes. So there was only
three.
Yeah.
Okay.
The committee's happy with that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So do we have a mover? Do we have a mover in that motion?
Can I move?
Yes. Move Ms. Pangannis, seconded Mr. Atwood. Do I have any against? Motion is passed 5-0. So, is the committee happy with the admin's discussion there about presenting any changes to the minutes to the administration before the meeting so they can have a look at it? Are you happy to do that?
Yeah, in fact, I did that one before, but I was advised that it has to be discussed here.
Through the chair, while we're talking on that, the terms of reference says we had to get our agendas 1 week before. You were sitting down at the election day reading yours. I got mine the same day, sort of thing. Can we bring it forward a bit more, sort of thing? It's eating into my personal time at the 1 week ends.
When can we, how are we presenting the minutes of the audit and risk, and can we do it early?
It's usually 1 week.
The agenda, yes.
Yes.
We all received ours on Saturday, and it's here Tuesday.
So we received, through the chair, we received the audited opinion on the statements on Friday. So that was the main reason why the agenda was late. But in future, we make every attempt to provide with a week, at least a week to read.
Through the chair, for the last three agendas, I have not received
them. Mr. Atwood, the administration.
Till Friday.
The staff have said they were going to make every attempt to give it to us a week before.
She just said one. I thought
they're going to make every attempt.
This particular one was.
Okay, item 11, announcement by presiding member without discussion. There is nil. Item 12, reports from officers. 12.1, corporate services. 12.12, monthly audit risk and governance committee report. Officers' recommendation on page 15. Do I have a mover in that officer's recommendation? Moved. Councillor Whitwell.
So we're moving all three?
Oh. Any point of clarification?
Do I have a seconder? I will second that. Do I have any against? So, Speaker 4, Councillor Whitwell. Speaker 4, Councillor Blanco. Speaker against, Ms. Pangannis. Councillor Weber.
I think it's a very good document we have each month, which helps us a lot in terms of keeping track of risk management process and where we are with our targets and so forth. I didn't find anything in it that was particularly outstanding, except for the first part. We had some history there about things that really probably could be struck off. I think there's some that still have the ongoing type thing, which is absolutely something you want to try and avoid if you can, you know. I mean, they seem to be ongoing, but if you could give yourself some time limits to do particular parts in the project, that might be useful, you know, just to keep track on it. So that's all.
Thank you, Councillor Whitwell. I concur with Councillor Whitwell. It is information that's provided to the Audit and Risk, which shows us where we are with with audit and risk decisions made previously. Speaker against? Angus?
I'm voting against, not because I have a problem with the quality and the content of the with the quality of the document. I'm voting against because of the process. I would like to seek some clarification on some of the items that's included in this officer recommendations, and I would have loved to be given that opportunity, and that's also consistent with the standing orders that we have the opportunity to ask questions and seek some clarification.
Speaker for, speaker against, Mr. Atwood.
My concern is with the first one, 14-15, the visitors centre. We have a financial quarterly review there for the third quarter, January, March 2015. Here we are in year 2016, going to 16-17 financial year. Just done 75% there, which is just not, it's not a bad effort for over 2 years sort of thing. But then we get down to the next one, same stuff again, only 20% done. I think that is a concern to me. I'd really like to look in the officer state update sort of thing, and maybe have lines in between where they've done things sort of thing. It's all just in one block stuff. We've used about 4/5 on the page. There's another 3/8 down the bottom. Maybe you could extend it down a bit sort of thing, so that maybe it's time to highlight on the 1, 2, 3, 4s and 5s and 6s maybe, and maybe you'd need to put that down 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 as ticked off sort of thing, and then highlight in which ones are not being ticked off. That's what we're here for. And with regard to the last one, I think that this stuff has already been passed already. Is it not? Gone through the council, endorsed by the council?
This is not question time.
Okay, no, well, as I said, I'm questioned, so why is it still 70%? Going to the 100%, there's no problem with that, it's the 100% completed sort of thing. With the ongoing stuff, I think that we need to question with the Kingford Smith stuff, which is not ongoing now, so it's completed. I think we need to... Does it stay on that register, or does it go on to another register?
Speakers for, speakers against, write a reply.
Can I?
No, you cannot. Write a reply. Councillor Whitwell.
Look, there are some difficulties in anything we're doing, which is fairly new. I think we've got some, it's been with us now for about, I suppose, 3 sessions, and really it's pretty helpful generally. But I agree with what's been said by the other parties, that probably needs a bit of tidying up, but this will eventuate over time. So that's all I want to say.
Thank you, Councillor Whitwell. So I'll take it to a vote. Those in favour, the officer's recommendation. Those against? So that motion passes 3-2. Item 12.1.2, audited annual financial report for the year ending 30th of June. Officer's recommendation on page 18. Do I have a mover? Oh, hang on. No. Can I amend the officer's recommendation? And there it is there. So receive and note financial statements. Just those two. adjustments. So, do
through the chair, because you're thinking, can I question?
No, you cannot. I'm after a mover.
You've moved it, therefore you mightn't get it passed.
I'm after a mover.
I'm trying to look up my original.
The original just said receive and endorse.
Endorse, yes.
Yes, so we change endorse to note.
That's it.
And the financial, it said financial report, it's incorrect, it's statements. Okay, so can I have a mover? The report moved Councillor Whitwell. Do I have a seconder? Seconder Ms. Panganis. Do I have any against? Mr. Atwood. Speakers for Councillor Whitwell. Speakers for Ms. Panganis. Speakers against Mr. Atwood.
This is a very comprehensive report. It's done on an audit professional basis. It's looking, comparing the what's required under the law with what's required under the accounting practices, which are also our law in this state and Commonwealth. And it's my reading of it is that it's been very helpful to point out some of the areas we need to do better in, and that's I think a big thing for any audit or any statement of 12 months to really point out. It's not a manageable, it's sort of an all-purpose document, so it's not particularly for management, but it's very, in this case, it's very clearly useful for management. And I think that certainly, you know, we've picked up a few odd things. We've corrected one thing tonight in relation to it. I think my view is it's a pretty good endorsement of the auditor's work.
Speakers for Ms. Pengen.
I concur with the suggestion she made that this committee receive and note the audited financial statements, because that's in keeping with the terms of reference of this committee. And I also, after the discussions with the auditors yesterday, they've been very forthcoming with the strengths and weaknesses of the audit, particularly in relation to the airport, which probably might need to be looked at some stage, although the basis of the audit was based on legal document, there's no problem there, but I think there might be some problem with the interpretation or presentation of that document relating to the airport lease. But I'm satisfied with the findings and the discussions we had yesterday. So I commend the people who work behind the scenes to achieve this very good outcome. Thanks.
Speaker against, Mr. Atwood.
I'm voting against the change of the motion. I support the previous motion, which is to receive and endorse. I think it is a great thing that the auditor put up to us. No, I would like that this committee endorse it, pass it on to the council. I think it's one of those things which I've looked at a long time, and I'm voting against it's us to note as statements. I take it that we are going to vote on the changes first.
No. Do you want me to clarify that a little bit?
Yep.
So it is a minor change to the Office of Recommendation. So the committee votes to pass it, then those minor changes will be they'll just automatically be changed. Speaker for, speaker against, write a reply.
No.
Okay. Take it to a vote. Those in favour of the officer's recommendation with the minor adjustments. Okay. Against. All right. Passes 4-1. Item 13, motions of which previous notice has not been given, there is nil. Item 14, new business of an urgent nature, there is nil. Item 15, matters for which the meeting may be closed, confidential matters, there is nil. Item 16, closure. 16.1, date of next meeting. The next Audit, Risk and Governance Committee meeting will be held on Tuesday, the 6th of December 2016, commencing at 5:30. Declare the meeting closed at 6:34. Thank you, members.